Why do brilliant startups with talented teams still fail spectacularly? After studying thousands of companies, Nathan Furr and Paul Alstrom discovered a counterintuitive truth. The traditional approach to entrepreneurship actually increases failure rates. Most startups don't collapse because the technology fails or the founders lack talent. They fail because entrepreneurs follow a flawed playbook. The traditional model, write business plans, raise money, build products, execute, works for established companies with known problems and abundant resources. But entrepreneurs face fundamentally different challenges. They're tackling unknown problems with unknown solutions using limited resources. While large companies execute, entrepreneurs must search. This insight forms the foundation of the nail-it-then-scale-it methodology that has become required reading at top business schools and influenced the lean startup movement. The approach is elegantly simple, yet revolutionary. Instead of building products based on assumptions, successful entrepreneurs systematically test and validate their ideas before committing significant resources. Think like a scientist conducting experiments with customers in the real world, because passion without validation is just an expensive hobby. Greg's crime mapping tool, crimereports.com, struggled with just one customer despite following traditional startup advice, writing a business plan, developing the product, and raising venture capital. Only when he stopped development to truly listen to customers, the business transformed, gaining 2,000 customers in 3 years. Three dangerous myths often derail entrepreneurs. The hero myth causes founders to become dogmatically attached to their ideas, like Einstein defending his cosmological constant against evidence. The process myth encourages building products before validating customer interest. The money myth suggests more capital equals success, when excess funding often shields entrepreneurs from market reality and enables premature scaling. Thomas Edison learned this lesson early when senators rejected his automatic vote tally system. They actually valued slow voting for its political theater. This shaped his philosophy. I never want to build something that nobody wants to buy. True innovation combines invention with market insight, without which new technology remains merely an unused possibility. Innovation faces two risks: technology risk, can we build it, and market risk, will people buy it? Most startups fail not from building challenges, but from lack of customers. The solution isn't asking customers what they want, it's observing their pain points and desired outcomes. A worthwhile customer pain is one where customers recognize the problem, have money to solve it, and will return cold calls from unknown startups. Focus on what venture capitalist Vinod Khosla calls shark bite problems, rated 4 to 5 out of 5, rather than mosquito bite annoyances. When you found real pain, customers respond enthusiastically. A 50% response rate signals you're on track. Some competition is healthy. Claiming no competitors is actually a red flag. Consider Intuit's example. They discovered that despite QuickBooks dominance, over 50% of businesses still use spreadsheets or paper. Investigation revealed small business owners were actively hostile toward accounting software. By removing accounting jargon and simplifying setup from 125 to 3 screens, their new QuickBooks Simple Start Edition became the market leader, boosting revenue by 20%. After identifying customer pain, develop a hypothesis about the minimum feature set, MFS, the absolute core features that will drive purchases. Unlike broader minimum viable products, the MFS targets only essential features that motivate buying. Stripped-down products often outsell full-featured versions by helping customers recognize core value without distractions. This approach enables faster, cheaper development and quicker market feedback. When testing solutions, remember that customers excel at describing desired features but struggle to identify what truly solves their problems. Use tools like the $100 game, where customers allocate hypothetical money across features, and ask breakthrough questions like, "Would you prepay for this?" The most reliable validation is actual customer purchases. Without sales, you merely have an expensive hobby. Consider Cisco's success. They went public in 1987 without professional sales staff or standard marketing, succeeding through deep customer understanding and internet-based referrals. Understanding the customer buying process, from awareness through purchase and usage, can transform your business strategy. Supermax turnaround illustrates the power of understanding true customer needs. After bankruptcy, VP Steve Blank discovered their real market wasn't generic professionals, but desktop publishing specialists who valued performance over price and relied on product reviews. By creating benchmarks for publishing applications, optimizing products, and targeting Mac World Conference attendees, Supermac grew from 11% to 68% market share in 3.5 years, despite a fraction of competitors' marketing budgets. Market infrastructure matters because customers rarely buy directly. Multiple stakeholders influence purchasing decisions. Success requires mapping key categories, securing strategic partnerships, understanding stakeholder motivations, setting clear objectives, and assigning relationship owners. Startups must navigate this differently than established companies with existing resources and channels. The contrast between Pets.com and Dogster demonstrates the importance of sound business models. Pets.com burned through $300 million selling below cost before failing in 2000. Meanwhile, Dogster succeeded in the same space by maintaining low costs and adapting their business model when needed. Once you've discovered a repeatable business model that predictably generates revenue, scaling becomes viable. While the get-big-fast strategy proved fatal for many dot-coms, it can work effectively after validating your business model. This transition brings challenges, as seen with Lucerne at Wiley Technology, who, despite early successes, was replaced as CEO at investors' request. Many startups hit the chasm, a period of stagnant growth between early adoption and mainstream success, as described by Jeffrey Moore. While early adopters embrace innovation, mainstream customers require proven, complete solutions. Crossing this chasm demands evolving beyond minimum viable products to comprehensive solutions that feel safe to buyers. Successful scaling requires mastery of culture, communication, accountability, and external perspectives. Culture forms organically but benefits from intentional shaping. Communication becomes more complex with growth, demanding structured meeting systems. Often, founders face the toughest transition. Their entrepreneurial strengths may not match the execution skills needed for a larger organization, requiring honest self-assessment and adaptability. Intuit's near-death experience proved transformative. With just 4 employees using plywood desks and salvage supplies, they completed the Apple version of Quicken, revealing their true market was home users, not businesses. Success often derails startups' focus. Companies drift from market-driven to engineering or sales-driven approaches. The sleek rocket becomes a barn with engines, burning fuel but missing orbit. Only crisis restores focus. MyFamily.com exemplifies this pattern. As Ancestry.com, they thrive serving genealogists until dot-com bubble ambitions led them astray. After burning $10 million in 45 days post-bubble, crisis forced a return to core genealogy focus, ultimately leading to a $2 billion public offering. Entrepreneurs can create artificial crises through constrained capital or deadlines to achieve similar focus. Entrepreneurship isn't about vision or funding, it's about systematically discovering real opportunities. As Thomas Edison noted, we don't know 1/1000th of 1% about anything, and there's a better way to do it. Find it.